This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, one of the things I like to do on the Paracast when I meet a guest is to make sure I pronounce their name correctly. Because, you know, what's the worst thing? You know, like, people used to call me Schnitzelberger. Now, don't laugh.
Schnitzelberger.
Achtung, but and my tongue work doesn't work. I just realized, I didn't realize this before, that our guest Jeff Belanger, and my French is bad, appeared on the Paracast back on June 10th, 2007. That was two co-hosts ago. Imagine that, and it's like 12 years, Jeff. How have you been for the past 12 years?
Well, where to begin? I guess June 2007 to now, we have to get caught up. I've been good. I've been still doing my thing and loving life. I had a child since I spoke to you last. She's 12 and a half now. So, yeah, things have been really good.
Is she sort of like one of those little goth chicks like from Beetlejuice? Or did the kids still do that? I don't know.
No, it's funny. I'm very careful not to try to push her in any direction. God knows I wouldn't wish being a paranormal person or a folklorist or a writer on anyone, especially my daughter. But she does get to tag along sometimes, and she's been on a few adventures. And I think she thinks it's kind of cool, but it's more dad's thing. So she leaves the weird goth stuff to me.
She doesn't have the feeling then that dad maybe is a little bit cuckoo.
No, she's figured that out. You know, it's funny to watch them get older because when they're really young, whatever you do is normal. Like, that's their normal. And once they get a little older and start to experience friends, parents, and dads and so on, I think then she started to grasp, yeah, my dad's different. But, you know, we have fun.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, there are parents out there that do this. Like, we had Paul and Ben Eno on not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and, you know, that's father-son team, and they're very much in tune with each other on this. So they have a blast with it.
Yeah, I live 20 minutes from them. I know them very well. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
We're totally separated. Randall is in Calgary, Canada, and I'm in Mesa, Arizona.
Oh, very good.
Well, if you like Arizona, yes, it's excellent. I'm going to ask you a few questions here to get things started, because after 12 years, we've got to kind of reintroduce you.
But sure.
First and foremost here, I think we're going to talk about our guest last week, who was very interesting, John Olson. And John Olson grew up in a haunted house. Get that?
Yes. Yeah, he was a really interesting guest, actually. He came across as totally sincere, like not somebody who was trying to make things up and sensationalize it like they did with the Amityville Horror, for example. He thought it would be a good, really cool if, you know, people would approach him to make some kind of a documentary about it. But, you know, he really wasn't trying to go that route with it, you know, the whole poltergeist Amityville Horror, hands pushing out from the walls and slime coming down and, you know, swarms of flies and, you know, none of that stuff. But he did have some pretty interesting stories.
We should hook you two up, I think. Share notes. Now, he lives out in the wilderness somewhere. So,
well, you know, I can travel. I'm pretty good about that. It's a funny thing when you talk to people that grow up in haunted homes, and I've spoken with Christopher Lutz, who grew up in the Amityville house, and I know the Perrin family, who grew up in the Conjuring house, and I've spoken to a multitude of people that have grown up in houses that were never made into movies or books or anything. And it's fascinating what the real experience is like. And I get how a real haunted home wouldn't make for a very good movie, because the reality is that months can go by and nothing happens. And then suddenly something will happen again. And if you think about it, that's actually a lot more frightening, because your guard's down, you relaxed, maybe it's over, maybe it's gone away, maybe it's moved on, and then you'll hear footsteps or strange creaks or something that just unnerves you and lets you know that you're not alone in this house. And that is the kind of thing that can chip away at your sanity. And the only analogy I can come up with is if you know anyone that's had their home or apartment broken into and been robbed, it's a very violating feeling that someone else has been in there that doesn't belong in there. To experience that ongoing must really be difficult.
Let me just drop something in apropos of nothing. I once had a home invasion where a camera and some other stuff was taken. This is in Charleston, South Carolina. We were renting a cottage. And to show you, of course, how our world works, I called the police. The police said, well, you know, if there's no evidence, it's just a home invasion. You know, call your insurance company. Call the insurance company. I had to fight with them for 2 months just to get a few hundred dollars back from them. That's the real issue there. And I don't think it was ghosts. I just think it was a couple of teenagers who got overeager.
Yeah. Ghosts don't take cameras. I think they look for other stuff.
Well, now they get the whole smartphone. You see, a camera, that camera maybe cost $150 in 1970s dollars. But today, a smartphone, a premium version, is going to be $700 to $1,400.
Yeah. That's what I would steal if I was a ghost. That or your Ouija board. I'd go looking for that.
Maybe the original Parker Brothers Ouija board?
Well, if you really want to be original, I guess I'd go Kennard Novelty Company, if you really want to go all the way.
Well, if you can get one of those were expensive. I had the Parker Brothers version, but that's long ago and far away.
Yeah, it was. They used to manufacture them in Salem, Massachusetts. And then Hasbro bought the company, and Hasbro now manufactures them in East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. So they are still made in Massachusetts, but they've changed over the years. And it's quite a story. You know, it's a funny thing. Did you ever play with one as a kid?
I did. And yeah. I'll give you the experience here. So my friend Kenny and I got the Ouija board. We went to his home. And his mom, I think her name was Edith, really, really smart, up-to-date woman. And so she played with us. We had no results. She had results. I never figured out whether she was just fooling us or those results were legitimate. But they were very simple answers. And I always assumed with Ouija boards, if you didn't consciously move the planchette, you did it subconsciously.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? There's only a few possibilities. Either I'm pushing it, you're pushing it, we're somehow collectively pushing it, or, you know, something a little more supernatural is pushing it. And I know for me as a kid, that was sort of my doorway into the paranormal. I grew up in an old New England town, and my friends had haunted houses, so we would have sleepovers and break this thing out and try to communicate. And I was fascinated because it wasn't like a Hollywood movie. There wasn't blood dripping out of the walls, nothing like that. It was just, hey, someone else lives here with us, and sometimes we see him or hear him. And this was back long before ghosts were out of the closet like they are now. And I remember my friend's parents saying, hey, don't tell your parents that our house is haunted. They'll think we're crazy, have us locked up. And it started pretty much a lifelong fascination that, wow, maybe these walls can talk. And I love that. And I think for a lot of people that Ouija board is that introduction because, I mean, it says ages 8 and up, and it's manufactured by Ben Parker Brothers, now Hasbro. And you're like, well, I bought it right next to Monopoly and Othello. So how dangerous can it be? And yet it really opened a world of intrigue. So I'm grateful. Thank you, Parker Brothers.
Well, let's go back to history here because it's interesting. I know we had somebody who is no longer with us. Rosemary Guiley.
Yeah.
On the show several times. In one of those episodes, we did talk about Ouija boards. And of course, you know, she looks at it as someone who is a generic paranormal researcher. She covers all the bases. We talked about the djinn. We talked about Ouija boards and that. And she gave us some stories that, shall we say, were a little bit frightening. You never know. Yeah. I know with my first wife, Geneva, we did some stuff with the Ouija board. But again, it was that hit or miss thing. And we never were quite sure whether it was somebody's subconscious pushing that thing or we were in touch with something. I don't know. Jeff Belanger, a ghost hunter, another ghost hunter kind of person, joining us this week with Gene Steinberg and the one and only J. Randall Murphy. This means you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now 1-800-583-8662 or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662 or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jeff Belanger, since we're on Ouija boards, let's just get that topic away.
Sure.
With Ouija boards, what's the history?
Well, the Ouija board is a, it's a, a trademark name that started in 1891 in Baltimore, Maryland, with a company called the Kennard Novelty Company. The generic term is a talking board. These are really a byproduct of the spiritualist movement. So what was happening was in 1848, spiritualism started in Hydesville, New York, and suddenly psychic mediums are going on tour and they're communing with the dead. And I would submit to you that the spiritualist movement would have died out if not for the U.S. Civil War. But the Civil War had so many people dying untimely deaths, and people wanted answers. And they weren't necessarily getting those answers from their churches and their synagogues and their religious leaders. But psychic mediums offered those answers. Come to me. I will communicate with your fallen brother, husband, son, or whoever. And there were a lot of charlatans back then, just as there are now. And so eventually people started to use this talking board idea, whether it was an upside down wine glass on letters, and then later a board with a planchette. All these various devices came together, but it was the Kennard Novelty Company that took it to a whole other level by making it a brand name and putting it into just eventually millions of homes. And over time, the sales would be cyclical, but in times of turmoil, they always spike, whether that was World War I, World War II, Vietnam, 9/11. There's a long history of people seeking these things out when they're looking for answers. And really, the marketing was brilliant. They never really overly defined it. They never said, this is used to communicate with the dead. They said, it's a parlor game. Do whatever you want with it. Just buy it. That's all we care about. I tend to believe that you get out of it whatever you put into it. For some people, it is a psychic experience. You know, there's nothing magical about cardboard and plastic or wood and glass or whatever. The magic is in you, whatever that may be. So if you are using it to help tune this psychic ability that maybe all of us have, then so be it. But some people are deadly afraid of these things, which to me is kind of silly because, well, if you're afraid of that but not afraid of other methods that people use to hunt ghosts, whether it's an audio recorder or dowsing rods or any number of other trigger objects or EMF meters and so on, where you say, hey, communicate with me. I guess I look at this as both a historian and like an armchair sociologist. It's just fascinating to me that we, number one, think there's something out there, and number two, want to try to reach it. And that goes back a lot longer than 1848. It goes back since, you know, we could talk and communicate with each other.
So is this a matter of reflecting what powers you may have? It's not reaching something external?
I believe that we all have some degree of intuition. And an example of that would be if you've ever met somebody and all they say is hello and your skin just crawls. Or the opposite of that, you meet someone and all they say is hello and you're just like, hey, who's this person? Whether it's romantic interest or friendly interest or whatever, you're drawn to them. There's something inside of you, something that's intangible that is connecting with something intangible from them, and you're using your intuition. If you want to put that a step further and call that psychic, I could live with that. I could live with the term. And so I think we all have these abilities to sort of reach out and feel things beyond what we can see. When you're in a room alone and someone walks in, even though you didn't see or hear them, you just sense their presence. You turn around and you go, oh, gee, Randall, I didn't see you just walked in behind me, which would be awkward because he's in Calgary and I'm on the East Coast.
There are stargates.
They're right. And by location, we just went down the rabbit hole fast, didn't we?
Yeah, doppelgangers. And
doppelgangers, right? Yeah, we're all the way there. So, you know, you sense that. So if you take the Ouija board off the shelf, take it out of the box, put it down, and now you take a deep breath and you're trying to communicate with something that might be around us all the time, could be around us in the grocery store and at the gas station, but we're not in that headspace at the grocery store or gas station, but we are in the headspace when this, you know, eerie thing, the Ouija board, comes out, and it helps us to kind of focus our thoughts and actions and intent. And then if we get a little afraid of it, we put it back in the box, put it on the shelf, and close it. It's kind of like a ceremonial closing of that thing that's inside of us. I would say really no different than people who go to church or synagogue or mosque. You can pray anytime you want. You can connect with your creator anytime you want, but some people feel better doing it in a specific building at a specific time. So I think it's something similar to that sort of mechanism that's at work with those things.
Having then control of your religious experience?
Yeah, sure. Or psychic experience in this case, which I would move down a notch from religious experience if we were ranking things. I think that this does give you some sense of control over something that I don't think is controllable per se. We have these impulses and we have these feelings and experiences. If I could control them, I'd be rich, right? I mean, if I could make ghosts manifest, or if I could tell you this is where they'll be and when, I mean, that would be amazing. I would charge you an arm and a leg to come see that. But sadly, I can't, so I'm stuck just trying to guess like the rest of us.
Well, Gene, I think you're really on to actually both of you in terms of control. I mean, obviously the church is going to want to maintain its control over the supernatural realm and whatever we perceive that to be. So, if the congregation suddenly starts thinking, well, we can do this ourselves, we'll just go home and get out the Ouija board and open up our own little portal into the supernatural, well, that kind of takes away from their control. So naturally, they would want to say that it's a bad thing and belongs to the devil or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, I totally get where you're coming from. And I think that Ouija boards hurt psychic mediums a lot more than they hurt the church. But you're right, the church wants to sanction, yes, there is spirit communication, but you have to do it our way. You have to do it in the realm of prayer. I was raised Catholic, so you can pray to saints, or you can pray to God or Jesus or whoever, and they can intervene on your behalf, but don't use a Ouija board to do it, because that's weird, which is really funny, right? Because, like,
yeah,
it's all kind of weird.
Transubstantiation's not weird, right? So,
right, yeah. Have some wine. It's really blood of a guy.
It's really the blood. Yeah.
Like, really?
It actually turns into blood on the way down. Yeah. Well, Ouija, I think, just means good luck or something in some ancient Egyptian language.
No,
isn't it? What is it about then?
So there's Ouijasticians, as my friend Bob Murch would say, who's like pretty much the world's foremost Ouija historian, and I'm just going to parrot what he's taught me over the years. So some people believed it was the word oui, yes, in French, and ya, yes, in German, but that's not exactly where it came from, or a fabled Egyptian city or whatever. Another story is that when Kennard was first using the Ouija board, he said, name yourself, and it spelled that out. But it was actually a friend of the Kennard Novelty Company that just kind of threw the name out there, and it stuck. And the brilliance of it, again, was that they never overly defined it. When you overly define a thing, it's not as scary. Think of like the great horror movies. Think of the movie Jaws. You didn't get to see the shark for a long time. That made it scarier. Because once you see it, once you name it, once you know it, then you take a lot of the fear away. And I think that's a big part of the paranormal. When we're dealing with a haunting in a home, the holy grail is to put a name on that knock on the wall. You could be totally wrong. You could say, oh, it's Mrs. Smith who lived here back in the 1950s. She died in the house and that's who's haunting it. It gives you this false sense of control that, well, I know who it is. She's just a sweet old lady who died here, used to make apple pies. Everything's fine.
I want to ask you the question, kind of letting the other shoe drop. Visiting us for the second time on the Paracast, 12 years apart. I had forgotten. I'm sorry, Jeff Belanger. But thank you for reminding me, because I think it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun exploring the ghost village. More to come.
Oh, yeah.
Right. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is seeming to take a different stance on vaping. He tweeted about getting counterfeits off the market after announcing earlier this week an effort to ban nearly all flavored vaping products. Gregory Connolly, the president of the American Vaping Association, made his case against the flavored vaping ban.
The fact is that there have been mistakes by people trying to market to adult millennials, but that does not justify removing every single product from the market besides tobacco flavors, especially when we know from the Yale School of Public Health, the National Bureau of Economic Research, other institutions have said banning flavors will increase smoking, and that's the last thing we want to do.
Pacific Gas and Electric and a group of insurers have reached an $11 billion settlement to cover most of the claims from the 2017 and 2018 wildfires in California. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, one thing here, too, if you're asking for something, Jeff Belanger, is it possible it reflects on you in a way you rather not expect? And also, with regard to the phenomenon of a haunted house, you think it's Aunt Mary or Uncle John or something like that, and they came back because you're having all this stuff going on. Does the phenomenon try to present itself in a way that makes you think that's who it is?
Well, it could be, but I think also we try to make order out of chaos. It's what humans do in all cases of everything. You know, we try to control a universe that is fundamentally out of control and getting more so every minute. It's a law of physics, right? Entropy. It's going from an ordered state to a disordered state. When something happens that does not compute, when I'm in my nice quiet home and I know everything's as it should be, and suddenly there's footsteps, the distinct footsteps of someone walking in the front door and then going up the stairs, which I've heard 1,000 times with living people. However, I'm alone. That's frightening. And I have to make sense of it. And I have to fit it into some kind of box within my own human experience, or I'll go crazy. And so if I reach out and say, ah, must be Uncle Larry, I could be totally wrong. I mean, Uncle Larry walked up those stairs once, and that's the only thing those two things have in common. But it makes me feel better. And I think we do that all the time. Another thing I've noticed, especially at historic sites, is there's something that I call most famous phenomenon. If you go to any bed and breakfast in Virginia, there's a plaque somewhere that says George Washington slept here. You know, you've seen those at all kinds of places. Some of those places are quite old, and some of them might indeed be haunted. And there's knocks on the wall or there's cold spots. And they'll tell you, well, that's the ghost of George Washington because he's the most famous person that's ever been there. And he slept there one night back in 1780. And he's going to haunt here for all eternity, which is funny to me, right? I mean, I would think old George would be in a number of places. But when they have a ghost, they put his name on it because, whatever, it draws attention. It also makes you feel better because George Washington never told a lie. He has no way his ghost would hurt me, right? He must be a safe ghost. It couldn't possibly be that drunk gardener that fell off the roof in 1963 and broke his neck. You know, we have to give ourselves some sort of control over the thing.
And maybe that drunk gardener is pretending to be George Washington.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, just the wooden teeth and everything. So, yeah, so I think that's a big part of it is we're trying to control our chaotic world. And it's frightening. And we don't want to live in a place or be in a place where we're scared. That's no good. So if we can name it, we feel better about it. And I see that time and again. And I don't really know. I don't claim to have any psychic powers at all. I don't see things unless we all see them. I don't hear things, you know, unless other people hear it too. I can't just take the word of something saying like, oh yeah, it's this or that. I think the world and universe is a lot stranger than we can possibly imagine. However, I do think that what all of this ghostly phenomena specifically does is it offers us a direct connection to our past. It forces us to connect with what's come before us. And this is where we get a lot more philosophical because all of us, each one of us, is the product of every moment of our lives up to right this second. You know, from the person that made you coffee this morning to our parents, to our friends, to the movies we watch, the art we expose ourselves to, the books we read, and so on. All of those influences helped shape exactly who we are. And all of those influences have to fit in the context of a location because that's part of it. Where you grew up has its own influence, has its own backstory, and the people that helped make that place what it is. When I am in a historic building and I hear about a ghost sighting, it forces me to go back and ask who was there, why were they here, what happened here. And when I learn about the past, I learn about myself. And when I do that, if I learn a little bit about history, and I'm a big lover of that, then maybe, just maybe, I can avoid some of the mistakes of the past in my own life. I think that's the moral of the story. That's why places are haunted. That's why people are haunted, because there's something that we have to learn. It's all about the living. It's not about the dead. It's about the living.
Well, it sounds almost like UFOs. Flying saucers are here to make us think.
Sure. Absolutely. If we were certain that we're not alone in the universe, the argument against that makes no sense to me at all. I mean, the universe is so vast. Why would it be all here just for us? But if we knew we were visited, then they clearly have a technology far beyond us. And what does that do to your psyche? We lose that egocentrism immediately. Most of us would, I think. Not everyone. Some would just live in denial. But you lose that egocentrism, right? That it's just about us on this little planet, and there's nothing else to worry about. Just where am I going to get my next fast food meal or whatever?
I mean, like, when you hear people, and I've run into this time and time again, like, you and I and Gene and our listeners, we find this endlessly fascinating because it's people are having these real experiences, but once in a while, you'll run into somebody that just goes, you know, I don't know why you even talk about this stuff. This just doesn't interest me at all. And it would be fine if aliens existed, you know, if they came down and landed right in the middle of the green on the golf course, all they would be doing is going, well, that's fine. Just get off the green, you know.
Let me play through.
Care.
Yeah.
And for us, that's kind of almost unfathomable to think how someone could be just so insular that they really don't care.
Yeah, and that's okay because we're all trying to get through our life as best we can. You know what doesn't interest me at all? Stamp collecting. But I take no offense at all to people that are passionate about it. Wonderful. Go have at it. It just does not interest me, and that's okay. I remember being at this paranormal conference at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which is a beautiful hotel, haunted. It's where Stephen King was inspired to write The Shining, all that stuff. It was a ghost conference. At one point, someone walked in wearing a Bigfoot costume, and it was the good one. You know, the one that, like, you look through the neck. I mean, it's not a cheapy costume. It was a good one. And they were walking through the conference. and I saw these various ghost hunters sitting on the couch. They're looking at their gear and their phones and stuff. They glance up at Bigfoot, which is 15 feet away in the lobby of the Stanley Hotel, shrug, and go right back to their phone. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed. And I was like, oh, man, the mothership could land right outside. And you're like, are there ghosts out there? No, just little green men everywhere with lasers. Well, let me know if you see any ghosts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We get so compartmentalized in everything, every part of our lives, whether it's stamp collecting and paranormal or just within the silos of the paranormal. You know, like, I'm only here for ghosts. Bigfoot can sit on my lap. I don't care. Just get him off.
Yeah, and people get so wrapped up in their own belief systems and worldviews, too, that it's like, well, ghosts must be the departed. In some way, they believe that it's possible for a person to continue personhood after the death of the body and that they go on and live, and that's what's really going on. If you try to offer anything other than that, they just look the other way and lose interest and go on with that assumption, which we certainly have no proof of and really makes no logical sense whatsoever.
Well, let me offer you some proof right now. Here's the thing, and what I've done in my career, I've changed a lot since 2007. I'll have to go back and hear that old show because, God, I don't even remember what we talked about. But I know my own thinking has evolved quite a bit. I do believe that we can prove it. And here's an easy example. If I say, what light through yonder window breaks, what do you think of?
Look, I'm not into fiction or nonfiction or literature. Sounds like Alan Poe or Shakespeare or something.
Shakespeare.
I don't know.
You're right. It's Shakespeare. It's, of course, Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare. That story has been done so many times, countless times. Romeo and Juliet is a cartoon, right? It's been done by Leonardo DiCaprio. It's being done right now somewhere on Earth by some high school, right? William Shakespeare is still with us, period. The end. That's it. He's not forgotten. His work lives on. The essence, the thing he created out of nothing, is still with us in our everyday lives centuries later. He is still very much with us. There's a Mexican parable about how we all die three deaths. And this, I believe, to my core of cores. First death happens when your body expires. The second death occurs when your corpse is laid into the ground. But the third and final death comes somewhere down the line, and that is when your name is uttered for the last time. Shakespeare is not dead. His name is still being uttered. My grandfather's name is still being uttered. But at some point, let's be honest, we do forget. We do move on.
We are going to forget these announcements if we don't get them
done.
All
right, do it.
Right, Jeff Belanger, Gene, and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Jeff Belanger, I had the misfortune of interrupting you for some pieces of business. Can we continue where we left off?
No problem at all. My point is that in studying hauntings all over the world and in all kinds of cultures, at some point, I don't hear about ghosts of Roman soldiers. I don't hear about ghosts of cavemen and so on, because we're too far removed. It's too far back. We can't connect to that history that long ago. We can connect still to the Civil War. We can connect to even the American Revolution is starting to push it as far as time period. We're having a harder time connecting to that time period. So at some point, we do forget. We stop uttering the names. We stop connecting, and those ghosts do finally move on, whatever those ghosts are. And so I think in some way we are conjuring up the past. We conjure up grandma when we think about her. I mean, I've got such fond memories of my grandparents and my grandmothers, and I can close my eyes, and I can see them, and I can smell their cooking, and I can feel warmth at memories I have of them. And that's very real to me. You know,
A completely different thing than
is it
than their consciousness continuing after the death of their body. We're talking about a completely different thing there. Yeah, we have.
I'm not sure we are.
Yeah, I am.
All right, go. Let's hear your side.
Well, you have your mind that belongs to you, and when you're experiencing those things, there's no question that you're alive, and we have all the evidence we need for that. But when you remember comes from your mind. What someone else remembers comes from theirs, their own separate consciousness. Consciousness hasn't even been figured out by anybody yet. We don't know what that is, really. So your consciousness is not the same as your grandmother's consciousness. So when most people think of a ghost, they're thinking, well, it's a continuity of personhood. You know, it's not you as a person remembering grandma.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Grandma as a person existing independently of you.
Okay,
right? So whether you exist or not.
Yeah. So, Randall, you're running with one singular definition of what a ghost is. And I've yet to find a catch-all definition. So there's one theory you might have heard called the stone tape theory, or the idea that a ghost is like a movie that plays over and over again. Even though the person's not there, their consciousness isn't there. It's just they were there at one time, and for some reason, it still replays like a movie. I would argue that pieces of my grandparents are still within me. So if not their whole consciousness, of course, I don't have their memories or life experience, but pieces of it have been instilled in me and are carried on through me and passed on through me directly to my child and maybe one day a grandchild and to friends and family and so on. So are we the product of our memories and experiences, or do we even know what we are? You know, and in which case, if that piece of them can come forward. And it's not there all the time. Obviously, I go through much of my day. My grandparents died quite a few years ago now. So when I go through most of my day, I don't really think about them. I don't conjure them. I just leave them where they are. But sometimes I need them. And I do go and bring them up, even though no one else can experience it. So I would argue that whatever piece of the past that we bring to the present, ghost is not certainly the traditional definition of that, but it is the past coming to the present. So the definition I've come up with, I wrote a whole book about trying to define a ghost, and I failed miserably, by the way. I'm not even going to tell you the title in case someone out there, someone out there might have bought it and been want a refund.
We'll go through the books. I think that what you're saying is really interesting from a sort of a psychological, cultural perspective. I think it's also really valuable, and that we can take away something really valuable from what you're saying. I'm just looking at it from that one specific point of view where people really believe that they're communicating with somebody other than them.
No, I get it. And so the last piece of this is, I'll say this. I think the simplest definition to sum up that whole book, that if you bought it, I can give it to you in like one sentence. I think a ghost is the past coming to the present. That's it. I'm going to let that sink in. Go ahead. And we're good. Is it time for a break yet or what?
No, I actually love it in a way, just like Dick was saying, looking at it from a cultural perspective and a historical perspective, and from that particular framework, I think is absolutely wonderful. I think we should all do more of that. You know, I was just looking, and I'm just looking at the one way that it seems to me that people typically look at it, as a continuity of personhoods. When someone else dies and they want to get in touch with that person, they're not getting in touch with themselves. They're getting in touch with someone else, right? So we have two separate personalities, one communicating from some supposed afterlife to us in this particular realm. And that seems to be the sort of the typical way that people look at it. I absolutely love the way that you look at it, because to me, that makes sense. And that is, like you say, that, well, essentially, that's provable. There's nothing not provable about it, where we have information that is carried on, and we can look at it in a historical context, and there's plenty of evidence to say that this and that actually happened. Yeah, that's really fascinating.
So if I were to say, okay. I wonder what my grandmother would think of all this. And knowing her personality, would I then channel her and say, she would say, listen to my grandson. He's so wicked smart. He's so smart. I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, it's channeling. Well, if there is some residue of us that carries on in some way, shape, or form in some other realm. Well, I used to believe it was impossible. Now I think, well, maybe not. Maybe. And you got into this on one of your 30-odd minutes show, which we got to touch on later. But the idea of multiverses, where, well, maybe if this is some kind of a simulation, you know, they could back up our existence into some kind of a drive and maybe reconstitute it again in some other universe where there is some way that people communicate back and forth. But if that's the case, then what we're dealing with is copies of ourselves, not our continuous self. So it still kind of breaks, but at least it maybe offers a possibility that there is some way to communicate with something else that is separate from us in some other universe. So, I mean, that's at least possible.
it gets deep, and at some point we're going to need marijuana and some Cheetos if we're going to, like, continue this discussion, I think.
Well, we could just, have that person that made us our coffee this morning deliver
that's
that.
Right.
We're kind of approaching the edge here, guys.
All right. Well, you're right. Darn right we are. We're about to go
the
over.
Edge of what?
Oblivion.
I think we went over the edge a long time ago, and we're just trying to make up for it. The thing I always wonder here, since we're getting into this communication aspect, or the possible belief that we're in touch with the dead relative. And you think here there's a trickster out there that maybe is playing games with us, that if we accept its reality, we can really mess ourselves up. Because when someone sees evidence of a ghost, oh, it's Uncle John. Can't be anybody else, because he used to live here and he was a pretty crazy kind of guy.
Yeah. So you're suggesting like maybe we're being tricked by something that's got bad intent for us?
We have to consider all possibilities.
Sure.
We just don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't think, I mean, like I said, I'm speaking from like observing the living people. You know, they try to make sense of it. They try to fit it into some kind of category. But then, of course, sometimes the behavior of whatever's happening doesn't compute, doesn't fit with Uncle John or anyone else. There are people that have been pushed or scratched or in some ways attacked. And that's not the character of Uncle John. He was a sweet guy. So then suddenly they have to start dealing with a different sort of reality and start reframing what they thought they knew. And that gets into like a whole other realm. I think pretty rare, as far as my research goes, just the people I've communicated with, it's pretty rare that there's actual like physical contact and attack. But yeah, it does happen.
Yeah, things do get moved physically sometimes. When, you know, we can be as skeptical as we want to be and try to figure out what's going on and say, well, this is possible or this is impossible. But regardless of whichever one of those we go with, we have to admit that something's going on. People are having these real experiences.
Yeah.
And that's what's endlessly fascinating for me. What sort of keeps you going when you're thinking about all of this too?
Yeah. So I started in all this as a newspaper reporter. That was my entree officially into the paranormal, was in the mid 90s working for a paper and writing feature stories about haunted places and just loving that and thinking this is great. I get to interview people. I'm in historic sites. There's these cool stories. And that led me to start my website Ghost Village back in 1999, 20 years ago. Good God. And so that's kind of like been my jumping off point. But at some point I figured if you're going to go down the rabbit hole, there's no point in going halfway, right? You might as well keep going. And so, over time I've included a lot more, folklore, legend and other studies. I've gotten into cryptozoology and into ufology. And when I say that, I mean from a strictly story perspective.
Let's do our break here.
Okay.
And then we'll continue down the rabbit hole. Jeff, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.